Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 30th March 2021, Tuesday class. We will be sharing from this book the essence of infinite meaning, teachings from the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, or Wu Liang Yi Jing. Just relax body and mind. Completely relax body and mind, and allow your mind to settle down by just maintaining awareness for as long as you can. For those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed. Then the last support for meditation is after you have relaxed body and mind, you have developed the awareness, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. And the last support is trust. Trust your nature to do. Do not allow your thought process to interfere. So when you maintain awareness, it's just the awareness that is aware, finish. Whatever arises, aware, finish. No need to know, no need to think, no need to do anything. You just maintain the awareness within. The awareness is very important. When you are able to relax, maintain awareness until all the mundane thinking or sankhara activities slow down and cease, then you will realize your true mind. Your true mind is your awareness nature within, and that is your meditative mind. That is the one that can meditate and develop understanding of what is going on. So you need to use that silent mind to meditate, to observe, to develop understanding. So basically, meditation is to train our mind to settle down for us to realize the true mind, silent mind. Okay, so I will let you meditate on your own while I set the alarm, 30 minutes. After that, when the alarm triggers off, I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then you should try your very best to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to continue to live your life. To use them to develop the daily mindfulness meditation, especially Sati Sampajana, the step 5 of Abhijja Sutta. The formal meditation is for you to train your mind to settle down, to realize the true mind, and you must stabilize the awareness nature within. Until it becomes very stable, until the mind enters sati. For those who need methods and technique, or any object of meditation and skillful means to develop the training, you can also do it, and you will come to the same final outcome. Means whatever object of meditation that you use or skillful means that you develop, is for you to anchor your mind so that you can develop mindfulness over the object of meditation. Then this object of meditation or skillful means like chanting, dynamic meditation, or rising and falling, or I don't know, whatever, it will develop that stability of mindfulness until it becomes very subtle, very still, until the mind enter sati. When the mind enters sati, there is no movement. It's only stillness, awareness, without any activity of mind. So that is the ultimate ability of the training. So when your mind enters sati, everything you do will be in sati. Every moment of hearing is in sati. smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. They are all in sati. So meditation, when you understand, is very easy to develop. But if you don't understand, you may be doing a lot of things, wasting your time. When you do without understanding, the danger is you become gullible. But when you do with understanding, everything falls into place. Then you progress very fast. And the understanding will surface very fast. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. We must actualize the mind-right practices of the six paramitas of perfection in our daily life. So this is very important. As per the adapter verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, you have to actualize the mind-right cultivation, because to be Sama Sambuddha, the cultivation is very extensive. And not only put it into practice, you need to actualize it. Means in the midst of life, you must have the ability to leave it until that cultivation has been perfected, until you have become so stable in the understanding, then that Dhamma, that understanding has become a part of your nature. You have the embodiment of the whole cultivation and understanding. So this aspect, remember, we must actualize the mind-right cultivation of the six perfections in our daily life. As we learn the Dhamma and cultivate the path or practice the path, we must be permeated by the fragrance of virtue. This one also very important. Virtue must be there. Reason is, without wisdom, there is no virtue. Where you have developed the wisdom, the straightening of the view, then virtue comes about naturally. To be virtuous, you must have wisdom. Then true virtue can never arise without wisdom. When you have straightened your view, when you are incapable of negativity, then whatever you do is wholesome, virtuous. That's how it comes about. So this second aspect also you need to develop understanding. Yeah? Whatever you do in the name of cultivation, if you don't end up having more and more virtue, you are on the wrong path. Because this is something cultivator will realize. End of the day is just to have a virtuous mind, born of wisdom. The cultivator that have a virtuous mind is on the right path. So this is also very useful and important, so make a note. We praise the Buddha's inconceivable virtue, see? Because it's a Sama Sambuddha, his virtue is very extensive, we call it inconceivable. He is the guiding teacher of all sentient beings. So this adapter verse is very good. It shows you how the true great beings cultivate to become Sama Sambuddha. So I will read on the content. In learning the Dhamma and following the path in our daily living, we need to constantly be permeated by the fragrance of virtue. So this one is already developed with understanding, and put the teaching into practice of cultivation. If we cultivate according to what the Buddha has taught us, we will be able to attain the truth of the Buddha Dhamma. When we store a regular piece of wood with a piece of agar wood, After some time, the piece of wood will naturally take on the fragrance of the agar wood. Furthermore, if you take a regular piece of paper and wrap it around the fragrant agar wood, after some time, the piece of paper will also start to give rise to the same fragrance. By the same principle, if we diligently learn and cultivate the virtue and teachings of Lord Buddha, naturally we will also be permeated by the fragrance of virtue. Similarly, when we cultivate together with virtuous person or people, we will naturally develop or adopt their virtues too. Means you can be influenced by their virtue, and likewise, when you have the virtue, people will let you have the people will take you like a leader by example, then they can also adopt your virtue. For example, we may hear someone say, he's a good person, he's a wise person. You spend time with him, you will also become a better person too. This shows us how we can be permeated by the fragrance of wholesomeness or virtue. When we are around good people, wise people, virtuous people, we can influence each other to do good deeds. Other people will recognize this and also be influenced. So in learning the Buddha's way, as long as we are very earnest, mindful, and reverent in our practice, when we walk the Bodhisattva path, we will naturally influence others to join us. So this is very true. Eh? And there is the aspiration that the Buddha has always taught us to develop after our close, towards the end of our closing puja. He always asks us to invoke power of merits. Imina punyang kamina, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya. So this aspiration is very important. Imina punyang kamina. Punyang is our merit. By the power of these merits that we have developed or cultivated, may it arise a causes and condition for us to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so that enlightenment, Nibbana, can be realized soon as possible. So this is to make aspiration to avoid the foolish, mix up with the wise, to realize enlightenment, to develop the condition for us to progress along the path of Dhamma. Because in life, whoever you are with, if you have not developed the wisdom, you will be influenced by that person. So it is very important that you make this aspiration to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one or the virtuous one, for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. You also have to make sure you also develop understanding of who are the heedless. Means you must be able to recognize the heedless one, the foolish one. Then you must be able to recognize the wise one, who are the virtuous and the wise one. Then this aspiration will help you along the path of cultivation. So if I were to share with you my experience, I can reassure you that this vow is very strong in me. That's why I realized this life when I arise, even when I was studying, when I was young. I have this ability, I don't know why, I finally end up mixing with those who are good at their study, the people who are mature and more, I wouldn't use the word wise in the sense that at that time it was not really wisdom, but they are more intelligent, more smart. They understand things better. They do well in their study. Then later on, when I came out and developed the cultivation, I can spot people who are virtuous, people who has the Dhamma. Then I can really have the ability to pay respect to them and learn from them. That is what my nature realized. So if you can do that, you will progress. You will really progress. So the aspiration, the vow, is very important, very true. That's why Wu Liang Yi Jing Sutra, infinite meaning or innumerous meaning, is really, really a very profound sutra. These are real cultivation of great beings or higher beings. They are showing us the way to cultivate the Bodhisattva way, or to walk the path of the Bodhisattva to realize Sammasambuddhahood. Okay, so we continue. So the essence of the first chapter, virtue, in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning is its repeated praise for the Buddha's virtuous action. So we are only on chapter 1, virtue. That's why most of it is on the Buddha's virtue. Since the time the Buddha came to this world, over the course of his life, he aspired and vowed to seek enlightenment and to cultivate the six perfections in all actions. Moreover, he united his body and mind with the universe, means the oneness nature. He also unlocked his wisdom and eliminated all of his affliction. All of this cultivation show us the way to engage in spiritual cultivation or practices. So you have to eliminate or endure and eliminate all affliction. So ability to endure and overcome or root out all affliction is very important. Then you have to cultivate to develop the perfection of wisdom. The other one is to have faith. Faith is very important. To be sincere, to persevere, to just diligently cultivate, persevere. So when you have these three virtuous quality, you will definitely progress along the path of Dhamma. So remember, have strong faith, be really sincere, so that you are very, very straight on the path, true to yourself. Only the sincere heart can realize the enlightenment. Then diligently cultivate, persevere. Just do, don't try to know. Don't fear, don't complain, don't be affected by whatever you confront. Develop the understanding that if you are sincere, faithful, and you are willing to strive on with heedfulness, persevere, you will make it. Okay, I will read on. When we encounter good principles or teachings, we must take them to heart. This one also very true. Whenever I heard through beautiful teachings or principle, it straight away dawned on me and my nature have a lot of joy. Then I understand it very fast. Then I can apply it. So here is also mentioned, when we encounter good teachings or principles, we must take them to heart and then pass them on to others without holding back. So this one, when you have the condition to share and to teach, you should do it. Because Dhamma is not what you think. It's not something that the practitioner will have that type of thought, a selfish thought to say, hey, I learned it so difficult. It took me so long, and after overcoming so much difficulties, only I developed this understanding. How can I just share with people and let people understand? No, that's the wrong attitude. In fact, when you understand, you are willing to be share. Because the more you share, the more virtuous you become, the more wise you become. It's only through your sharing that you develop much more understanding. It's just like the law of karma. The more you give, the more you receive. So the more you share, the more understanding come back to you. So this principle, the cultivator of the world will come to know and they will realize it. Then the funny thing about cultivation is, if you are really on the right path and you are moving at that speed that you know, because you are sincere, you are full of faith and you are diligent, then whatever you share, there is no problem. Because when you share with understanding and joy, you learn at the same time. Then as you learn, your cultivation progresses. Then cultivation is not like other thing where you can speed up and chase somebody very easily. If that person is a real good practitioner or Dhamma or cultivator, actually it's not easy. Well, for you to reach his level, that itself is going to take you a lot of time. Then by the time you reach his level, only you can speed up and maybe be more diligent and progress faster than that person. Otherwise, before that, there is no way you can catch up with that particular person unless your past is very exceptionally powerful or fantastic. So this is what my nature realized. That's why when I share, I just share everything with you. But it depends on how much you all can grasp, receive. So this one, as you cultivate, you will come to have the understanding. And you will be more than happy or willing to really teach and share whatever you understand. So this part, hopefully you all bear in mind. Then after you have developed the cultivation, you can check whether what I tell you is the truth or not. So you don't have to hold back anything. Eh? If you hear a teaching that can open up the hearts of others and bring harmony to people's relationship, we must promptly share it with everyone. So you can do that. It's very good. In this way, we not only accept and cultivate the teaching ourselves, but we also encourage others to join us in applying it. Some secret teaching has slowly disappeared because people fail to transmit them, worried that everyone will learn to use them. Actually, whatever the teaching we learn are all about morality, ethics, or other good teachings. Once we have understood them, we should pass them on to others. This is called transmitting the teaching. We inherit these teachings from those who came before us and use them to inspire those who will come after us, seeking the Buddha's teaching and then using what we learn to help and transform other people is the duty of all Buddhist practitioners. So this is how the author sees it, which is also very good because this is like the lineage of the Buddhas, or Sakyamuni, we continue to pass on the understanding. The other aspect of the cultivation that you should bear in mind is this one, my nature realize it. I don't know for how long, but I know it must be with my nature for very long already. Because my nature has evolved the type of understanding that in this world, great beings and Sammasambuddha are countless. And each and every one of them, they are very unique and very good. And some of them are really, really very diligent, full of wisdom. And their cultivation, perfection, understanding are very unique to themselves. So if you have this ability to study all of their ability to cultivate that way, it will help you understand many things. Then through your own understanding and your own nature's uniqueness, you can also come up with certain aspect of understanding and teaching that can speed up other people's cultivation. Like this line, my nature realized how beautiful is it if you can make this type of vow with all this right view to come back life after life whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come. So this understanding will prevent you from getting lost when the Buddha Sasana is no more. So my nature realized this is the big gap that is missing in most cultivators of the way, especially the Bodhisattva way. So the early years of cultivation, the early period of cultivation of the Bodhisattva way took so long was because of this. During non-sasana, a lot of them initially drifted and was not able to continue with that type of vigorous cultivation and fervent practices because no more sasana. But because of their parami, their vow and all things, during the Buddha sasana, when condition is favorable, they will be born again and then they will cultivate seriously and progress again. But every time you wait till the sasana come, then you cultivate. Then after that sasana no more, you drift and lost yourself, find yourself everywhere again. Then the cultivation become like hampered in between. So that's the main reason why it took so long, eons and eons and eons of birth and death to perfect Sammasambuddha. So you can apply the understanding using the wisdom way to mitigate all this, then you can actually speed up the cultivation. So this is the added understanding. Yeah? So you pay a note, make a note. Okay, we move on. When people's mind, in this first chapter, virtue, the Buddha Dharma is described as encompassing infinite power. This is truly inconceivable, yet the Buddha's teachings are in fact ever present in our daily life. So this is very true. Even in this first chapter, virtue, the Buddha Dharma is described as encompassing infinite power because it's like very powerful. So this by itself is truly inconceivable, and yet the Buddha's teachings are in fact ever present in our daily life. So this aspect also very true. Life itself is the Dhamma. Life itself is our greatest teacher. So we have to apply Dhamma in daily life, otherwise we cannot learn. it cannot progress. The Buddha is the great guiding teacher of sentient beings. He leads sentient beings to reach the state of the Tathagata with Sammasambuddhahood, where they remain firm and unwavering. They abide in the power of their vows and extensively purify all Buddha land. So this is very true. This is not about one person being purified. Everyone can be liberated or purified. When people's mind are purified, the land will be pure. That's how pure land comes to be. Then won't our world become a pure Buddha land? As long as we diligently listen to the Dhamma and learn all the merits and virtue of the Buddha, we will be transformed. Therefore, let us not forget, even for a moment, to praise and uphold the Buddha's virtue. Let us keep the Buddha in our heart and live out the Dhamma in our action. So this is very useful, very important. Eh? Keep the Buddha's teaching in our heart and live out the Dhamma in our action, means daily life. Then as we interact with one another, we will be able to benefit everyone with the Dhamma. So this part is very useful, eh? Very important. Within wood, there is fire. But this fire will not come into being without constant friction. Within sand, there are grains of gold. But we cannot obtain the gold without constant sifting. Within our heart, there is Dhamma. But we cannot realize it without constant cultivation or learning. So we read the notes. Huh? This quote is taken from the record of the transmission of the Lama. It's another teaching. When a Buddha attains enlightenment, he resolves the delusion of the world. So all sentient beings in the Dhamma realm can gain blessings and wisdom. Infinity is one. One is infinity. Understanding infinity is understanding all Dhamma. Through this Dhamma Dawn, Bodhisattva can readily attain perfect enlightenment. Okay, then we go into the commentaries. All things in the universe that we can see and perceive have essential principles hidden within them. True or not? Eh? You have to inquire. All things in the universe that we can see and perceive have essential principles hidden within them. This is definitely very true because they follow the universal law. We call it the Pancha Niyamas, the universal order, the five universal order that governs life and existence. So these five universal order within our conditioned world, they are very powerful. So all things in the universe that we see and perceive has essential principles hidden within them. But ordinary living beings do not realize this. For example, where does energy come from? People today may think that it comes from natural resources, such as gas and petroleum. Actually, all things in the universe contain energy. Take, for example, the natural warmth that exists in the world. Without some degree of warmth, no living being will be able to survive in this world. The ray of the sun provided the warmth needed by all living beings. But what about at night, when there is no sunlight reaching us? The earth stores this heat, and this is sufficient to sustain life through the night. Where is this thermal energy found? Actually, it is found everywhere in nature. In addition to the sun's ray, everything that we can use and even things that we cannot see contain thermal energy. Even rocks contain the potential for fire. When two rocks are struck together, sparks are produced. Does the human body contain the element of fire? when many people gather together in one place, we can feel the warmth of the crowd. This is the unseen thermal energy contained within the human body. In nature, every tree also contains the element of fire. Thus, the ancient rub wood together to make fire. Finding ways to create friction and generate an ember to ignite kindling. How is there fire within wood? Many kinds of wood contain oil. For example, from the Chinese juniper, we can distill very fragrant juniper oil. Oil can easily be made to produce a flame. Because of this, we can say there is fire within wood. Within sand, there are grains of gold. In the past, many people in Taiwan panned for gold in Jiufen, near Taipei. They scoop water and sand into a pan, and through careful sifting, they could separate a bit of gold. There were also gold mines in the mountains. Regardless of whether the sand is from river or mines in the mountain, through panning or extraction, all the mineral contained within it can be separated out. These are just a few simple examples to illustrate that these principles are found everywhere in the world. By the same reasoning, everyone has Dhamma in their heart, but we cannot realize it without constant cultivation or learning. If we can see the potential in all things and matters, then we will be able to realize the underlying principle. Principle may be easy to discuss, yet they are very difficult to discern. Only an enlightened one can realize and point out the principle hidden in all things in the universe. Without this guidance, ordinary people remain unawakened and unaware. Not only are we ignorant of the truth that there is a great potential inherent. Not only are we ignorant of the truth that there is great potential inherent in all things in the universe, but we are also unaware that this essential truth are within us as well. This is very true. Huh? Truth is within us because within us we have the form and mind, Namarup. This is the basis of truth because mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. So within our form and mind, the mundane mind actually help us to develop the understanding of all truth. The condition will how all things in this condition will arise, exist and manifest. So it's true understanding this form and mind that we are able to understand life and existence. And to develop the wisdom, we need to silence this mundane mind to realize the true mind. So the true mind, which is the unconditioned, the silent mind, is the meditative mind. Cultivation is not easy. It's because people fail to have this understanding that there is another mind that we can use to develop the cultivation, the awakening and the understanding, and that is your true mind. The normal mind that living beings are used to or every time dwell in is the mundane mind, the thinking mind. This thinking mind is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. They arise because of that nature, that true mind. From there, all things arise. So meditation is to see this, to understand this, and to return all of mind's creation back to the true mind. And only through that can we develop the wisdom to be free. Then whatever that mind create from that nature, it come out. The mundane mind that has the world of consciousness, world of form, phenomenal world of consciousness and form. All these, they are not what you think. They arise because of condition, because of nature's law. Everything is dependent originating. So you need to have the true mind, the silent mind, to observe and to awaken to all this, and to insight into phenomena, to realize their universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. So all this is part and parcel of cultivation. Okay, we will read on. By the same reasoning, everyone has Dhamma in their heart, but we cannot realize it without constant learning or cultivation. If we can see the potential in all things and matter, then we will be able to realize the underlying principle. Principle may be easy to discuss, yet they are very difficult to discern and to develop the understanding. Only an enlightened one can realize and point out the principle hidden in all things in the universe. This is all very true. So without this guidance from the enlightened being, ordinary people remain unawakened and unaware or heedless. Not only are we ignorant of the truth that there is a great potential inherent in all things in the universe, but we are also unaware that this essential truth are also within us as well. So within us means within our form and mind. Due to the layers of ignorance covering our mind, we cannot see this truth. Our ignorance also causes our thinking to go astray. Means avijja create heedless thinking. Sankara is heedless thinking. And thus, we have become deluded. As we look around, we use our eye to see and discriminate. We can see so many different kinds of people and sentient beings, yet we only consider outward appearances. So we end up thinking about things in superficial or uncomplicated way. And this is very true. This is what I mean by mundane seeing. When you see through the mundane way. Actually, whether old or young, everyone that we see is a human being, one of the many kinds of sentient beings. Sentient being is the term that encompasses everything that has life and can feel. Among them, we are further differentiated between humans, animals, cats, dogs, pigs, cow, sheep, etc., which all have different form and appearances. So sentient being comes in an infinite variety of form. Looking just at humans, we can see that over the passage of time, people can be categorized into different age groups, such as infant, a child, adolescent, middle age, elderly, etc. At each of these stages of development or developmental stages, they take on distinct appearances. In different geographical locations, there are people of different ethnicity and skin color. In modern terminology, the things that determine the difference in skin color, body type, etc., are called genes. In Buddhism, we call them karmic causes, an element of the karmic law of cause and effect that the Buddha taught. So that is the difference in scientific term. they classify you based on your genetic DNA and all those things, but they miss out on the very big part which Buddhism has covered, is karmic causes. So the karmic law of cause and effect, law of karma. In fact, your DNA coding come from your karmic past. Whatever your karmic past, it will condition your rebirth. The rebirth consciousness followed by the DNA of the physical form that you are going to take birth in. So all these are karmically related. In the same way that wood has fire within and sand has gold within, all sentient beings, despite their genetic difference, have hidden within them pure wisdom and intrinsic Tathagata nature. So this is just an analogy. It's just that we have not made an effort to refine ourselves and bring it forth. I often say a deluded thought gives rise to the three subtleties. One deluded thought in our mind can trigger off greed, hatred, and delusion or ignorance, causing us to become continuously caught up in the external condition and obscuring our intrinsic Buddha nature. So this is very true. When you are deluded, you create heedless thinking. So this thought process conditions your emotion, your mental states, and these are the ones that cloud your true mind, your true nature, where you are lost in the egoic mind, the egoic thought. Then you cling, you hold, and you grasp, thinking that all these are very real. Then you cannot realize your true mind, which is just the awareness nature within, that has the ability to observe all this, to develop the understanding of all this, then delusion can be rooted out. But living beings don't have the ability. So what is being mentioned is very true. So because of all those ignorant, the evil roots, you trigger off the heedless thinking that condition you to have all the emotions. Most of them are negative emotions. Some are, of course, craving, desire. Some are fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity. All these mind states are very negative, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So you become continuously caught up with the external condition that obscure your intrinsic nature. Your intrinsic Buddha nature is very beautiful. In fact, each and every living beings, not only human beings, they have the potential to realize that nature. But you need to realize it through cultivation, perfection. You have to silence your mind. So as a result, the author say, the deluded and heedless one, they will sink deeper into the cycle of karmic causes and effects and fail to see clearly. So the whole cycle originates from a single deluded thought, a single thought of ignorance. So we have to be very careful in cultivation. If you don't have right view, you will condition wrong thought. So wrong thought are thought that condition your negativity of mind state, your ignorance, your selfishness, your craving, your desire, then all of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, phobia, everything come from that wrong thought. So the single thought of ignorance will condition the evil roots that trigger off the heedless thinking leading to all the wrong thoughts. So this whole cycle originates from one single thought. So in cultivation, we have to be very careful. That's why the Buddha said we have to avoid all evil. Cultivate goodness, wholesomeness. and purify our mind. It's no more wrong thought, no more unwholesome thought, no more deluded thought. That is what cultivation is all about. We will read on. In order to resolve people's delusion, the Buddha came to this world to demonstrate or to show the path to Buddhahood. And let us know that all things in this universe contain essential principle. So when a Buddha attains enlightenment, he resolves the delusion of the world. Very true. When this happens, naturally sentient beings in the Dhamma realm gain ultimate bliss and wisdom. The Buddha guides us to understand that all things in the universe, whether in the three realms, we look at the notes, I think these are the form realm, formless realm, and the sensual realm. The three realms refer to places where all sentient beings live. The sensual realm is the desire realm. Then we have the form realm and the formless realm. This one refers to the 31 plane of existence. These realms are where the confusion and deluded sentient beings, and delusion of sentient beings cause them to remain in this realm because of the constant cycle of birth and death, or what we call samsara. The three realms are divided according to sentient beings' spiritual state. Means after you die, what is your mind state will decide where you will be born into, whatever realm of existence. So the three realm is also termed as the sixth destiny. That's why in Mahayana you often hear them talk about the sixth destiny, Liu Tao Lun Hui, is the sixth destiny that living beings take. So this sixth destiny I have explained before, they actually also refer to the 31 plane of existence within the three realms. The only difference is here, the sixth realm, there is one realm which they classify as the heavenly realm or Tian Fa Jie. That one includes the formless realm, the Brahma realm, and the Deva realms. So this six destiny intrinsically also contain pure Dharma. If all sentient beings could resolve their delusion and clearly understand this, they will go on to create blessings and cultivate wisdom. This is very true. In particular, if human beings can awaken, realize the true principle of all things and work to benefit the world, all sentient beings will naturally be blessed. For example, when we promote eating a vegetarian diet and restrain from killing, this not only helps people avoid sowing the seed of future disaster, but at the same time, it also helps to purify the world around us and improve people's physical and mental well-being. There are many superstitions and deluded beliefs that lead people to harm other living beings and prevent people from living in peace. If they can awaken and break free from deluded thinking to establish right faith in the right Dhamma, we go through the notes. First of the Noble Eightfold Path. Actually, that one is right view. Establish in right view. Faith in right Dhamma, right view. Then naturally, throughout this world, all sentient beings will play their proper role and coexist with each other peacefully and harmoniously. Then all places will be peaceful and safe. So this is very true. This is why the Buddha, in order to help us resolve our delusion, expounded many principles. In actuality, all these principles are derived from one principle. If we can fully understand this one principle, we will be able to comprehend the countless truth. This is the single message of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. That infinity arises from one, and one gives rise to infinity. For all things in this year, for all things in the universe, infinity is one, and one is infinity. Understanding infinity is understanding all Dhamma. This means that all principles are actually one principle, and this one truth contains boundless Dhamma. This is very true. That's why in the past I always share with you all, one is all, all is one, because we are all interrelated. Okay, next paragraph. Take writing instrument for example. A stylus is a pen-shaped input device for writing on a screen, but it cannot be used to write on paper. Pencil can make marks on paper and can easily be removed with a rubber eraser, while a ballpoint pen writes words that cannot be easily erased. These writing instruments are made of different materials to suit different purposes, yet they are all called writing instruments. Similarly, different kinds of trees can render different kinds of essential oil. From the juniper tree, we distill juniper oil. From the sandalwood tree, sandalwood oil. From the camphor tree, we get camphor oil. Though all these trees contain oil, they each have their own different composition and use. Hence, we can clearly see how, although these material objects are all different from one another, but they may still be considered one. Through this Dhamma Door, Bodhisattva can readily attain perfect enlightenment. If we want to practice the Bodhisattva path or walk the Bodhisattva way, then we must study and enter this door to the Dhamma and work to benefit ourselves as well as others. The teaching expounded by the Buddha can help us eliminate deluded view, wrong view, and deluded thinking, or heedless thinking. If we eliminate all affliction from our mind and understand that we all have great potential, then naturally we will be able to purify and clean ourselves. And when facing the multitude of things and matter in the world, we will not allow our pure inner nature to be enticed by external conditions or confused by superficial appearances. This way, we can separate the wheat from the, what is this word, how to pronounce, chaff, C-H-A-F-F, the wheat from the chaff, and be left with only our pure intrinsic wisdom. Excuse me. Here, if you were to pay attention and listen, it's a lot of this type of what they call Dhamma words, where they use it to express the enlightenment, the awakening. But how to develop it is not taught. So we continue with the sharing and we see how. What is the purpose of life in this world? At least this one come back to its purpose. Then from there maybe they move on. Our purpose is very pure and simple. To give of ourselves to help others. And this is the Bodhisattva. How can we give of ourselves? By developing our wisdom and by understanding the underlying principle of things and matter. Thus the Buddha came to this world for the sake of one great cause, to open and reveal his enlightenment or his enlightened understanding and views so that sentient beings can realize and enter it. So when you teach the truth can awaken living beings. At first we do not understand, so we need the Buddha's guidance. This is why he opens and reveals After learning the Dhamma, we come to understand the principle. This is when we realize it. What should we do after we have realized it? Is it enough to just understand the Buddha's teaching? No. Once we have understood the teaching, we must put them into practice. We need to use the Dhamma to save and transform sentient beings everywhere. We must kindle the light in everyone's heart and pass on the Dhamma to others so that they can in turn save and transform other sentient beings. This is the Dhamma door that Bodhisattva must enter. Very true. Eh? If you continue to do that, then it will touch the heart of more and more living beings, sentient beings. When Bodhisattvas cultivate this teaching, they will readily attain perfect awakening. Perfect awakening cannot be attained outside the mind, nor can it be separated from all things in the universe. When we become one with all things, yes, the oneness nature, we realize the one principle. Yeah. We have to understand that infinite Dhamma Dhamma arise from this one principle. After understanding the one, we can manifest the infinite. All things in the universe return to a single principle. If we can thoroughly understand this one principle, then we will cherish all things in the world and clearly understand the principle of all things and all matter. So this one, this first chapter is very useful. Eh? It teaches us to study the one principle, which is the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. When you realize that Dhamma, you realize all principle. That's why Dhamma is very wonderful. Wisdom is not rigid. Wisdom is total understanding. That's why one is all is one. Okay, we stop here. Okay, we will open up for reporting of meditation and Dhamma sharing. Sadhu, sorry, didn't see you.
I want to clarify something I heard. The second precept of stealing, attacking what is not yours.
Yeah.
If somebody drops $100 note,
okay,
is it okay to pick it up?
Okay. Very good. So this is your question, Yinchan. So let me ask you back. After you pick it out, what do you do with the money?
Spend it.
Oh, okay. So that is one way. So if you do that, so what is the Buddhist understanding? How does it relate to the second precept? So the second precept is very clear. I undertake the training rule to abstain from taking things that doesn't belong to me. Understand? Means stealing or deceiving or what. So when you found something, what does it mean? Does that
it
thing
belongs to somebody else?
Yeah, the question is, does the thing belong to you? So definitely you check, it doesn't belong to you, isn't it? You are not stealing it. Do you understand?
Yeah. You're taking something that it doesn't belong to me.
What I mean is, when you steal it, means it is not there for you to see, then you don't know belong to who, understand or not? Do you understand? That money definitely doesn't belong to you. You know it belongs to somebody else, but you don't know who. Then you didn't go and steal, understand or not?
Yep.
Because you found it. So there are a few things you can do. That's why I asked you the question, what you do. If you spend it, then there is some form of karmic thing related to it, because it may be not so heavy as stealing, understand not? Because to you is God sent, understand not? If somebody careless drop, then whoever found it can have the right to the money, because you are not stealing from somebody's purse or somebody's house or misappropriate their money, knowing very well that this money they kept somewhere. But when they drop it, it's not stealing in that perfect sense, understand not? But you are still taking things that don't belong to you, understand not? So what normally for most people is, if you can like locate the owner who actually own the money, then you should try to locate. What I normally do is, because when I pick up something, my wife also sometimes do the same, where he can't find the owner, he can't locate the owner. So we will help whoever lost this to donate. So we make offering. We make offering. That is one way out. The other way is, I always have this tendency. Well, I somehow, I used to, because I was mindful and observant, so I tend to see all this money all over. So in my office alone, I have seen many times. Then I will call my colleague who pass by or come down. I say, I don't do it, dekat lantai. Quite a lot, no? Kisap man, no? Then sometimes it's about $50 note, one stack. So normally, if it's quite a lot of money, I will... There was one time ATM machine. After I went in, I saw the money there. So I quickly did the transaction bill. I don't have enough time to call that person, he already gone, and I want to do my banking transaction. So after I took the money from the tray, I went to the bank, I told the bank officer, I said, you try to locate for me this particular person before me. So I give him the ATM slip that I withdraw, and I say, contact the person before me and ask him to call me. If it's his money, I will return to him. Then the bank officer called me. He said, Mr. Teo, we checked already. The person said he didn't withdraw any money. Right? I said he didn't withdraw. Then there's money on the tray, 300 ringgit. So what I did was I donated on his behalf. Because somehow I sense it that this money come from something. And that person that sent that money wants me to make the offering. That thing doesn't want to use my money. I actually received some offering from somewhere, then I donated that money. But somehow the money came back, and it's like that person wants to donate himself. It is something that people cannot understand. So it happened. So that's what I did. And sometimes if it's not much money, I will ask my colleague, I say, I don't do it. Then You pergi tanya dekat office, siapa hilang. If there is anybody hilang, you return to him. Otherwise, you do whatever you want. I let them decide. So there are quite a number of such cases. But if it's really some like money or whatever that you actually spotted while walking past by somewhere, you try your very best, not to say all out, you try your best to locate, you can't, then you can actually use that money for certain wholesomeness. You can make offering or donation, or use it to help people, no problem. So it's up to you. As long as there is no intention to misappropriate, deceive, or take this type of money that doesn't belong to you. But sometimes in life, we heard very often of this, what they call durian runtuh. like the durian drop in front of you. But if the durian tree don't belong to you, it's not durian runtuh. If the durian tree belong to you, then it's durian runtuh drop. Then you can take it. Or if the owner allow you to pick it up and have it, you can have it. So earlier on, we also went to the dusun with Alicia. Then he found some in his dusun there. So there is a neighbor that he introduced Alicia to buy the plot. They used to pick up quite a lot of this durian. Some are wild durian tree, not owned by anybody. They just grow up like that. So they pick it up, then they make offering. They give. Let us share. Sometimes they all eat, of course. For durian, all those things, if you don't eat, it may go like bad or become not suitable for eating anymore. It can give rise to what they call decay and all those things. So as far as precept is concerned, I think it's nothing major and nothing serious. If you have the means, you don't need the money, then you can just try to find the owner and return it. If you cannot find, my advice is make offering or donation on their behalf. That is the best way to do it.
Okay, thanks.
Sadhu.
Yeah, hello everyone. Brother Tira and all Kalayan Mitas.
Yeah, okay.
I think lately, like what that day I have shared with Brother Teo, while at work.
Yeah, that one is very good.
While learning also, actually.
That is Dhamma in daily life, She actually put the understanding into practice, Christina. She did it very well. That's why she was sharing with some of her friends who has first noble truth. Suffering and problem. He said she also in life, where her work is such, at times she encounter difficult people who say very harsh thing and other thing to her, and then she accept it. Then there was like understanding. Then she was able to actually go through it, then resolve it amicably. But this is life. So the friend and the colleague, sometimes they don't understand. So he shared the text message. He said the words they use, actually, normal people cannot take it. It's very sharp and very harsh. So better let Christine share. Christine, you continue.
Brother Teo, yes, say that. I think we have to, after we listen to the Dharma, we have to, we have to practice it, make it into our daily life. And then we have to, act it out.
Actualize it.
Knowledge all inside. We are not. I hear something not comfortable, like my client scold me very harsh word. So if I say I fight back, I still do what, like my old habit.
The old habitual tendency.
That means the Dharma Dharma practice is not there.
Means you have not changed. Means you still allow your habitual tendency to react and get emotional, angry. Then it does not solve the problem. Then it triggers off more misunderstanding.
And then we must have wisdom to deal. Like what Brother Teo always say, we have to deal everything in amicably.
By
cultivating noble effort for power. This one is very important.
That one, a lot of people find it very useful. When you apply noble effort for power correctly, everything get resolved.
And then sometimes I will take it as like, these are all my past karma.
That's what you give to people. Now you become the victim. So you have the understanding, you accept it through the right view. then you are at peace. Then yeah. You do what you need to do. You need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Then you vow not to repeat all this wrong action and wrong speech in future. Mm-hmm. Then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to turn this around and to resolve it amicably so that everybody is not affected, so that the coming repercussion will not carry through, so that all this can be resolved and need at the part to resolve it amicably there and then, this life finished. So all these are very beautiful Dharma principles, like what the Sutra of Infinite Meaning mentioned. These are the Dharma principles that is applicable to all conditions in the world. So when you understand the one principle, which is Dhamma, then you apply that Dhamma principle to all conditions. That's the one is all is one. Then everything get resolved. Good.
Still learning lah. Everything will go smoothly lah. Because I find that when we don't react to what an angry people throwing the baggage to
garbage.
The things will
go back to that.
When it's conditioned for it to go into beauty, in order, then it will go. Because no point for us to fight. If let's say we fight, that means my work will be prolonged.
Because when you start to fight and argue, more misunderstanding will arise. Then it will lead to all the unnecessary conflict. Anger, hatred. Then all the angry word will come up. Then people are not in the right frame of mind to settle things. So to resolve things amicably, we must actually respect people for what they are, develop the Dhamma understanding to speak appropriately. So right speech leading to right solution. Then right talk, we must read it, love and metta. Then sometimes you have this understanding, you will thank them for giving you the condition to cultivate, to check your practice and other things. So you can just actually smile towards them and say, I'm really sorry if I have caused you any misunderstanding. Why not really discuss this? Amicably. So with the aim of having a amicable solution so that we can move on. I understand you are not happy because certain things happened, and then you have to also explain to them, because this is just like what you explained. They even go all the way to your boss, which is your brother or brother-in-law, I forgot already. But then your brother-in-law or your brother also explained to them, this is business, understand? You have a contract, you have agreement. So this is what work order is all about. After it's done, you have to pay, you have to settle. All your complaint, unless it's reasonable, then it doesn't hold up. Because this is what the construction industry is all about. Innovation industry is all. So these are common argument in renovation work, construction practices, and also projects. They are very common. I resolve them during my time, and they like me. I always have a solution to all things. They see me, they know already. The engineer is here, Mr. Teo Lee Zhong, Wu Si Zhong. Before that, sometimes my technician give them a lot of problems. Then they complain until somebody call me. Then I have to go to the site. Then when I'm there, I just resolve it. Then I check. I have to be fair to both sides. Then anything wrong, you have to rectify, you have to rectify. But contractor is like that. There are a lot of things to them involve money, expense, and all those things. So the work that they have actually done, if really got mistake, is of course their mistake, then they have to rectify. But you have to allow people to rectify. You cannot just reject and say, okay, today no concreting. They have ordered the concrete truck. They have gathered all the men to do the concrete work. All this need to be paid. So you have to be considerate. You cannot just tell them all like that and reject the whole job. Then tell them, today all work cancelled. No concreting, nothing. I don't care about your order and other things, your men also. Yeah. So if you act that way, the worker will be very, very angry with you, because this one involves a lot of what they call financial part to it. So what happens is, for the consultant or the technician to make that decision is very easy, even the engineer. But then the consequence of it is so serious. Because the main contractor is going to tell all the subcontractor, why you simply lay your formwork in your barn, now the engineer reject or the technician reject. But for me, after I look at the thing, if it's really a mistake, I will tell the main contractor, you call your worker, whoever is responsible for this, to come. And then I explain to him, I say, you look at the drawing, you have done this wrongly. So how? So let him tell you how he can rectify. So normally what they will do is, they say, mo pang pak lo, chak lo, chou ko lo. Then when they say that already, of course, the main contractor say, when can you get ready? If you delay 4 hours, 6 hours, that whole day concreting cannot go on already. The concrete come also have to throw already. So all this have cost implication. So normally what I do is, I will tell them, okay, you can still concrete, provided you start with this side first. Well, this side, not much mistake. Over the other side with mistake one, you have to rectify. You make sure you put in more men, you get it rectified. Then sometimes I tell him, I say, you don't mind if I ask you to put in more steel bar. And space it out to resolve your problem. Well, they were very happy. Then they say, thank you, thank you. Well, normally people are so rigid, they cannot get this resolved. So when I say, whatever you lay wrongly, you add steel bar, it doesn't cost that much, but it resolves their problem. Then some, the bar, the balik, they have to untie it and put it down. And that one is quite easy. I say, as you rush those parts that are near to the concreting work, you should be able to finish off and then do up your whole concreting. That's why after that they become very happy. Then they always, among the worker, they like my style. Then after that, they know already that is the way to resolve things, because you have to resolve it amicably through understanding. You cannot be rigid about things. But for yours is, I think, mainly carpentry, right?
Carpentry. Actually, this client payment quite difficult to get. Quite difficult. He felt very agitated when I asked for the payment, you know.
There's a lot of client, you have to be firm with your payment, because this is understanding.
Yes.
Otherwise,
it's already stated in our invoice.
In the invoice. Because otherwise, they can be very, very difficult to deal. They always force you to finish off, then only they say they will pay you. But they always, after that, they don't want to pay you. They lie main soa, they say. They will complain, this one not satisfied, that one not satisfied. He make life difficult for you, and then he don't want to pay you. A lot of this type of owner, we say, 超高的not so clear one. So this one you have to be firm.
Yeah.
That's why these are the people who finally kena back the contractor cheat them on. Because there are a few Kayamita ladies, they also get people to do renovation. You know what happened? Because they are Buddhist Kayamita, they're too honest and too sincere, too kind. They pity them. So they pay them promptly and in advance. So there were many cases where they overpay them. So when they overpay them, they use the cash flow for other projects. Then they abscond and abandon that project. Oh, then she was like caught in a mess. Yeah. Work that is partially done, normally very few
difficult
to take over. Then even they take over, so they make sure it's not cheap. So she got all this problem. So then later on I told her, I said, rule number one, never overpay a contractor unless you really know that contractor very well. Yes, the caution is very important. But for you, because you have your term agreed, you didn't over collect. So for you, you have the contractual right to actually ask for payment. Because on completion, you have your invoice, your billing,
yes.
everything. Then for you, I think you deliver the whole thing. When you deliver, you collect money. That's it. No problem.
It's also good, I think, to test my cultivation as well.
The patient. So-called paramita, kanti. Because as you cultivate, you know, all these conditions for you to cultivate. So sometimes a karmic path that surface can be a blessing in disguise. So like you mentioned just now, could be in the past life. You also make life difficult for people and you cause all this mess. Then now, you become the contractor, you are the victim, the customer make life difficult for you. So you accept. Once you accept, you are at peace. Then it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. That will allow you to have the condition to patiently look at things, then do what you need to do to resolve it amicably. So it will turn around, become a blessing in disguise. So all these are causes and conditions that can make life meaningful, beautiful. As long as there is Dhamma, everything can turn around. Without Dhamma, you cannot avoid suffering. The first one is reality. With Dhamma, whatever you encounter, it can be resolved. That's why he said the one principle, Dhamma, can actually take care of all principles, all situation and problem. You apply that Dhamma principle and it will resolve.
Brother Teo, actually it's really beautiful because I don't react or what, so I have more sales coming in also.
Definitely.
Like those years, I don't know how to, I mean, I also got my character, so I will act until my sales, the client want to also cancel one, But now I don't act, so many sales coming in,
We have people trust you.
They ask me,
So that
thankful
is
thankful also from so actually we learn and then we cultivate. We have it into practice actually.
Yes, but that is your parami, your virtue. When you are sincere, when you have the Dhamma, people can sense you. Then people like to give you job because there are very few contractors who are sincere, who really hold on to their words. They say, they call and honor their words.
So
these are the contractor that is very sincere and has principle. They don't deceive people and cheat people, take advantage of people. That's why with your understanding of the Dhamma, your sales will definitely pick up and increase. Then you will have your good success in your career.
I like to thank Brother Teo also lah for the teaching. And then without, I mean,
you know how to pick them up and apply them. Yeah, in the early years, you went through the Heart Sutta, I remember. And you sent a lot of very good Dhamma principles to the Maitreya Mitta. Where you find it very useful. But it helped you so much. Very helpful. So you are one of the very few that really see the beauty of the Heart Sutta, and you mark it and apply it, and you share it also.
So I make sure that I read 2 pages before I go out to work one. So whenever I encounter something, so when we go through already the reading,
You know where to find.
I know where to
find the answer. Action
back.
Very good. That one has helped you, because I saw how you actually become different. When you first came to me through Sian, the Thursday class, you had very severe first noble true reality problem. Very severe, very traumatic. You went through a few of that. Separation of loved ones, people who you don't like, and cannot get what you want. A lot of things. Then you had to face life, the heedless living, then develop understanding how to come out of it. So not easy. Then you were left with, that time you were so young, the whole world
collapsed.
you really were in a state of shock, don't know what to do. That is very traumatic, really traumatic. And not many people can come out of this situation, but for you, you were lucky.
I'm really thankful to Brother Teo lah. I think my affinity also. That's why
Your past affinity.
I'm attending the class with also normally.
Non-stop. Then you went for retreat. That retreat helped you a lot. The first retreat, after the second day or what, I remember, you approached me and discussed the problem. After that, when I explained to you, teach you how to resolve it, that one gave you confidence and faith. Then you were able to resolve it. Then you were so full of faith and joy. Then I can see you change, your life change. You turn around so beautifully. That time I remember your classmate also told me your English was very, very low.
Very poor.
Very poor. But you make it a point to actually pick it up. Until you can write so beautifully, then
they were shocked. So they were shocked. They were how come your grammar all this? Who teach you how to write?
Improve so much. It's because you learn from the Heart Sutta book and the share your heart.
That's why I say I'm very thankful to Brother Teo. In fact, Brother Teo also know I'm at Tsuji. Actually, I'm helped. At the platform, at least I got. During my free times, I can dedicate some of my service to all this.
Organization. Tsuji is a very good place to develop the wholesomeness, the recycling, the volunteer work, and many other things. Because theirs is compassion in action. That place is really suitable for people with problems, depression, or things. When you join the activity, you see people who are worse than you a lot. Then you develop the joy because you can help them. Very good, Christina.
I always tell people my most gratitude teacher is Brother Teo. Until today, I still follow because I find that it's like I felt very comfortable, and then I'm more energized whenever I listen to the Dhamma.
Listen
directly, you know. I like to listen directly. That's why I go for the meditation class.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
from the recording, maybe I don't know lah. I find that like got classes I enter, I listen, I learn more, you know.
Yeah, you learn more because physically present, you learn. You know why or not? Because the energy, the vibration, the nature, they're different. It went in.
Yes, that's what I felt lah, but I don't know how to express it.
Yeah. No problem. Then that day also there was another Kayamita. I think Sui An and Mi Feng was also there. Then because they invited us over to have dinner. I think it's Jayanta and Ananda, I think. Then there was another Kayamita was there. I think my daughter was not there. Only me and my wife went. So we went to this Long Fong restaurant. And later on, after the dinner, my wife came back and told me, then only I know. So actually, they booked that table. Then they say they are inviting their teacher. They say, Sufu. Inviting Sifu. I also didn't know. So that shop actually, my wife and me used to go and eat there quite often in the early days. Then the Sitapur know us since young day. Then we were the two that came late. So four of them already there, I think four or five of them already. Then the Sitapur go and ask my wife, he said, he they gong ang kan si fu lei si fu hai le ge lou gong uncle sorry si fu hai uncle. So my wife told her, she was full of joy because he doesn't expect me to be a Dhamma teacher. We used to eat there, we were very simple and they thought we were ordinary retired couple. So a lot of strange things do happen. Then actually when we were there, initially they asked them to sit on two tables because one table they allow, they say six person only. So seven got to split into two tables. Then because the Sitapur know me, I said, never mind, the seven-seater one also can, you can occupy that one. Finally, they gave us the one table for seven. At first, Mifeng was quite worried. He said, I don't want to pay the fine. Then the staff there said, never mind, you'll sit there. Any fine they bear. So I think they also know seven. We had that big table with the turntable, can take seven actually. Should be comfortable unless people want to find problem, look for trouble. So it's good, sadhu, Christina.
Yeah,
sadhu, Karen. Yeah.
For the Kamita.
Yeah.
Actually, I wish to share perhaps my cultivation, I've got to go to another room.
No problem. Take your time.
Brazil, because actually when I started listening to the Dharma, I don't know why, I just keep wanting to listen more and more. I have the urge to wanting more and more and cannot.
Yeah, because you have understood the importance of this teaching. This Dhamma. So you have the understanding to look for more. There are many people who are serious about the Dhamma. Also, they have the same urge like you. Like Alicia last time, keep on chasing Suyan for the recording. Then recently also, Brother Koklon, many Kayamita, they want to attend actually the physical class. They missed the Tuesday class. Some miss the Thursday class, and some miss the Sunday class. So it's very natural. When you see the beauty in the teaching, you really look forward to the classes and you want more. Sadhu, Karen. Very good.
then what? No, if I know more and more, and I love to share, you know. But only
very good, sadhu.
But still, you share with so many. I share with one or two got problems. They come to me and I'm able to share, you know.
Yeah. Your mind is, I think, you put your mind nearer to your mouth, Karen. We are not so clear, huh?
Okay.
Thank you, Brazil.
Yes.
Now very clear. Very good.
Because I just not I use something like a small amplifier like that.
Oh, so, no wonder. Now it's very clear. Very good, Sadhu. You continue, huh?
So I will, when people come to me, you know, in case my friends, you know, they couldn't have any solution to solve their problem, I love to share what I learn.
Sadhu, very good. Sadhu.
And then, of course, some of my family people telling me I'm very capable and all that.
Don't worry. When you have the understanding, you don't worry. You will know when to act and how to act. You can ask Tammy to help you. Tammy also not bad already.
but Tammy usually very quiet.
Yeah, she will slowly learn. So now, is she still staying with you or already they stay the husband's side?
Sometimes with me, sometimes there.
Oh, okay. So that's good. Yeah. So
then,
congratulations, Karen. Yeah, I forgot.
It's quite near the house. Quite near. So.
Quite near. So I have to congratulate you, on your marriage registration.
Thank you so much, Ratio. Thank you to all the Karmitas. Then when I learned that this, if we really put effort, now we can be arahants. So I'm so happy when I know that, you know. Then later on, I know, wow, we can be bodhisattva and
Buddha. Yes.
When that time, I'm scared.
Every cultivator who has that sincerity, faith, and perseverance can realize them. This is not difficult. Well, we are born at the Sasana era of Sakyamuni Buddha. So all these are possible.
Then I feel like me, you know, how to be Bodhisattva. I mean, I understand. Yes. It's quite impossible. My ability is so limited.
You don't know your past. Later on when you connect, you know your past. Then you will not say this anymore. Then you will rejoice. You will thank your good karma.
But something surprisingly happened lately, you know.
What, Sadhu? What is it?
Because suddenly I feel that, oh no, I must really take the Bodhisattva vow.
Yeah, Sadhu.
I start taking every day. I start,
Sadhu. You follow the yellow card.
The card you gave.
Yeah, very good.
Every day, every morning I will read the card, vow, you know, all this. I don't understand myself
you.
Also.
It will help you. 6 months from now, you will see the result. The result will be there, because for those who are sincere, who have the faith and what they call diligent and perseverance, they will find a way. Because this is nature's law. This is Dhamma. Dhamma need people who are sincere, who has the faith, the spiritual faculty. And then if they decide to sincerely cultivate, persevere, the Dhamma will unfold and they will awaken. So all this will become possible, no problem at all. Sadhu to you.
But I'm very surprised. I don't know why. What makes me do that? So I don't understand.
You will come to know later. In fact, many Jayamita has done it. Even the early days, those who were the pioneer, they told me they were really very contented with sainthood way. And they never had that thought that they will ever go the Bodhisattva way or understand the Bodhisattva way.
Then
when condition unfold, they were very surprised. And they say, don't know why, is it somehow that inner call come out, the inner calling come out. Then I saw the sign. That's why I started the sharing 4 or 5 years ago, 2016, I started sharing the Bodhisattva way. then the book also came out. Then the card also came out. Everything came out. Yeah, this is the message that I want to share with the world. This Bodhisattva way, incorporating some of the important understanding that my nature has. And that is basically what Maitreya want me to share with the world. So that is very, very beautiful.
Thank you so much to you, Brother Tio, also, Stan.
No problem. You are most welcome. So we rejoice. Okay, let us rejoice.
Thank you so much, Brother Tio. Sadhu.
Yeah. Let us rejoice in all the wholesomeness of today's sharing by Sister Christina, Yun Chan, and also Karen. So let us rejoice.
In the text you were saying they were recommending that people try to propagate the Dharma. What you learn, what you understand, share with others.
Yes.
That's not so easy.
Correct.
I have a relative, she was very angry with somebody. And she's been repeating and repeating that. Sadhu, you just wish him well. Go. The new metta, but she said, that's the last thing she's going to do. Wish him well.
Don't worry. That's why I say, we must qualify that part, because just now what I read to you was from the Sutra Infinite Meaning. So there, what was shared is actually the cultivator of the Bodhisattva way, not for ordinary cultivator. So cultivator of the Bodhisattva way, when they develop the understanding of the Dhamma, the beautiful understanding of, so they can share, actually they have the ability to share. That's why whatever you have learned and perfected, you should share. Then it will actually help this understanding to be propagated, and more people can actually have the Dhamma understanding and continue this work. Because when it touches the heart of more living beings, the world will be more peaceful, society will be more peaceful. Then more and more wholesomeness will come to be. So what you said is very true. If you are not ready, try not to share. When you are ready, you can share, no problem. So you find out yourself. But if you are just starting, what you can do is make sure you develop the understanding first. Then you have benefited from it, you have come out of your own misery, suffering of First Noble True Reality. Just like some of our Kayamita, then they can share, no problem. People like Alicia, then even Christina. Christina has helped quite a number of people. Then there are some like Sui An, he also helped many people before. Whatever within his ability, his means to handle, he actually helped to filter a lot so that I don't have to see them. Only those that he find very severe and not easy to handle or teach or share, then he will bring it to me. Then most of them, almost all of them, they actually turn around and become beautiful. So understanding is very important. Not until you yourself has this Dhamma, the understanding of the principle involved clearly, then you yourself have come out of your own suffering, misery and problem, then you can help people to also do it. In that sense, in that case, you can start to try and share. Then you will be able to learn more and more, more and more. But the more you share, I realize, if you really have the Dhamma, the more you learn, the more you progress, then you get to know more people, that people are not what you think. Not everybody actually has the condition for you to share or to help. Then you start...
Those who have a bit of Dharma knowledge, they are more receptive.
Of course,
those who are
Dhamma knowledge on you cannot, very difficult. That's why I always say you better tell them to ask that person. Unless they want to come, don't bring them. If they don't want to come, forget about it. If people don't want to help, you go and keep on. It end up they will chase you away. Like what you share with us just now, they experience that. They don't like, sometimes to them it's like, why you keep on wanting to change me? That's why the reason why I always tell Kaimita, unless they want to come and seek understanding to come out of their situation or problem, don't bring them. The reason why I wanted that to be agreed upon is because after they come, some, because of karmic obstruction and the habitual tendency and the way they are, they keep on denying what is happening to them. Then they will reply to you in a funny way, like they resist you trying to change them and all those things. So before you can even explain anything, they will bring out their cocoon of thought again. But this thing like that, like that, like that, then they divert from the topic. So for people like that, I straight away will sense it. Then I will know, then I will just stop and I will smile and I tell that person, I said, please understand this. You come because you want to come. I didn't ask you to come. You come because you have a situation, a problem, and you want to understand how to come out of it. So if that is what you want, then you have to listen. Because through what happened to you, you already suffer so long that your old way doesn't work. So for you to have the answer to your problem, and for you to have the ability to come out of it, you have to change. Change through what? Through listening attentively and find out whether this thing that I advise you will help you change or not and come out of it. Otherwise, no point. You come here, you are not listening, you still insist you are right, your old way, then that's fine to us. Yeah, that is your choice. If you choose to go that way, the outcome you already know. But if you choose to listen and seek understanding, then you are most welcome. Then I can share. Then whether you believe or you don't believe, it's not an issue. Most important thing is you want to come and you want to find out and listen. So that one is my duty to share. After that, all the best to you. So I make use of that to turn things around. And most of these people, after they listen, they no longer resist. They tone down to listen. Because you have problem, not I have problem. And I'm not trying to change you. I'm here to share the understanding, to advise you. Whether you understand or you don't understand, you want to apply it or use it or not, it's up to you. So most of the case, after they hear that, they start to listen. Then because my approach, my tone is different, then I have the understanding, I can sense things very fast. Then whatever I share actually hit them deep inside. And they know this person, he is different. In fact, a lot of very severe, depressed people, miserable, suffer, and traumatic people, when they come, they were so down, but after talking to me for a while, they actually become very different. You can see their face, their radiance, their joy starting to appear. So a lot of these things depend on your ability. If you don't have the ability, it's not easy really, you just, I agree with you. So don't try to be too eager to share unless you have the ability. Even my daughter also starts to help people. She also use her own understanding. So initially it's not so easy and not so smooth. But she pick it up, then she now become more and more adept. And she can really help people. In fact, a lot of her colleagues and friends. Yeah, yeah, a lot of her colleagues and friends, they benefited. Then they realized she can have this understanding is because of the Dhamma, and her approach to life is so different now. Then they can see her like becoming so different. Can retire at this age and do what she wants to do in life and develop the understanding of the Dhamma, the teaching. Because Dhamma is very useful, very important. When you understand Dhamma, you understand life, then you can be a blessing to all. You can help many people. That's why it's so beautiful. Okay, Yichang? Sadhu,
eh? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sadhu.
Okay, thank you so much for the sharing and the question. Okay. We will end the Zoom, getting late already. Sadhu. So, good night, yeah? Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Sadhu, yeah.